I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was buried by the angels, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Brother Rick, will you please open us in a word of prayer? Amen. All right, here in Luke chapter number 16, I want you to look with me at verse number 11, where I get the title of my sermon. The Bible reads, If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And that's the title of the sermon this evening, The True Riches. So I'm going to be preaching in light of the holidays and Christmas coming up. This is a time where people will push for covetousness. especially companies. They're just constantly, it's just all about materialism. It's all about, you know, just getting that new product, getting the newest product, getting the newest car. It's just all about the riches of this world. So at this time, I'm going to be preaching a sermon. I think it's appropriate to preach a sermon about covetousness. While people are trying to tap into the lust of the flesh, they're trying to get you to feel covetous, just to get you to, you know, through your lust, just to desire to buy more, to have more. I think it's good that we hit the reset button with God's word and we start focusing on the true riches. Before they even try to, the devil tries to attack us with that. That's what I'm going to be preaching about this evening. Now, I want to begin right now with just two verses I'm going to read to you from the book of Proverbs, both of them from chapter number 28, where the Bible actually tells us that we should not be seeking to be rich, that we should not be trying to become rich. We should not be obviously focusing on the riches of this world then. It says in Proverbs chapter number 28, verse number 20, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich, shall not be innocent." Two verses later, so that's chapter 22, Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 22, it says this, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." So notice here that we are discouraged. God tells us that we should not be trying to become rich. It's not something that we should be seeking after. Haste means to try to hurry up. Someone's just trying to hurry up and become rich. It's someone, obviously, that's covetous. That's why it's referring to the evil eye. So we can see the Bible tells us there that this is not something we should be seeking after. We should not be seeking after and desiring the riches of this world. Now, I want you to turn with me to Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. I'm going to give you a couple of different truths tonight. They're all simple truths, but I think they're good truths for us to meditate upon and think about at this time. Sit up. Sit up and stop. I don't want to have to correct you through the whole sermon multiple times. Just sit up, no talking, no moving. So the very first point, the first truth that I want to relay to you this evening is that the riches of this world are temporary in the first place. All of the riches of this world are temporary. Now, there's two reasons why they're temporary. First, we're going to look at reason number one, and that is that you only get to keep them for a few years anyways. Whatever these riches are, people become obsessed with whatever riches, whatever material things they are, whatever possessions of this world. People will just become consumed and obsessed with these things, where they will just labor night and day just for a certain boat, just for a certain house, just for a certain vehicle, clothing, a certain lifestyle in general. People will literally labor night and day for years and years and years for something that they only keep for a couple of years. Something they only get to keep for a couple of months. Something they only get to keep for maybe a decade. Maybe two at the most. Look at Job chapter number 1, verse number 28. Job understood this and he said this. I'm sorry, verse 21. Goodness, I've done that like three times already. Job chapter 1, verse 21, it says this. "And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So Job understood this truth. Job knew that when he came into this world, he had nothing. He had no possessions. There was nothing that was automatically just Job's when he was born into this world. Nothing. You know what Job understood too? It's a hard truth, but when you die, you're not taking anything with you. You're going to die one day, and guess what? You're not taking any possessions with you. You're not going to have anything at the moment that you die. You're leaving this world, and you're leaving everything as far as your possessions, your wealth, your riches, behind all your cars, your houses, whatever you labor for, you're leaving it all in this world and you'll be passing into the next. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 7 says this, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." This is teaching the exact same thing. When you came into this world, you had nothing. You had no possessions. You didn't have a vehicle. You didn't have, you know, a house. You didn't have great riches. You didn't have material wealth. You didn't have anything. And guess what? When you die, you're not taking anything with you. So you came into this world at a certain time, at a certain moment you were born. You're going to die at a certain moment. And guess what? When you came in, you had nothing. When you go out, nothing. You're taking nothing with you. I've heard of rich people, literally, I have heard about this, of people putting, of a certain person, that when he died, that he literally put money and things like that in his casket with him. It's not helping you any.
You're gone and you passed on into another world, and that money's staying here, there with your body, while your soul and you are gone on into the next life, the next world. And that money stays here. So you only get to enjoy the wealth of this world is temporary. You only get to enjoy it for a short period of time. And people obsess over it. People just work night and day. It's all that they care about. They just are constantly trying to do whatever they can to get more money so that they're able to just acquire more wealth and ultimately get more things in this life. But one of the reasons why that's a silly thing is because the riches of this life are temporary, and you can't keep those riches forever. You only get to enjoy them for just a few years. The book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 39, verse number 6 says this, "Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." So notice the exact same thing. It says he heaps up riches. He heapeth up riches. It says, but knoweth not who shall gather them. Why? Because he's leaving them behind. They're going to be given to somebody else, and he doesn't know who they're going to be given to. And the first part of that verse is great, too, because, you know, it says, surely every man walketh with a vain show. What is he talking about? He's talking about people just trying to show off. It's the same thing. We would use that word the exact same way. A vain show, where they're just trying. It's all vanity. It's meaningless, and they think that they're just impressing everyone with the way that they look. It's just a vain show. They're showing off, right? But David explains, hey, he's got all these riches. He's heaping them up. He thinks he looks cool, but when he dies one day, he doesn't even know what's going to happen to those. He gets to keep them for a few years, maybe 10, 20, 30 years. Not only that, not only do you die and leave your riches behind, but it shows you the value of the things of this life, the fact that they don't last forever anyways in the first place. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 19, you turn to Proverbs 23, but Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 19 says this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal." That's another thing about the riches of this world, about the riches and especially the material wealth and all of the different possessions of this world. Guess what's going to happen to your car one day? It's going to break down. It's going to rust. It's going to corrode. You're going to have to replace things. Eventually, it's just not going to run any longer. Guess what's going to happen to your house one day? It's going to fall over. No one's going to be living there. It's going to be broken down. If Jesus comes back and in our lifetime, he'll be burned up. And that just shows the value of the things of this world also. But most likely, in the majority of people's lives that have lived on this earth, the possessions that they held so dearly to their own heart, all of those different possessions are burned up today. They don't even exist. Think about that. All these rich men of the past that lived this type of covetous life, that cared so much, sit down. Sit and put your feet over there again. Don't move again. These people, these covetous people that lived their lives just seeking after riches, just desiring that house. That's all that they cared about. They did nothing else, but they just wanted to heap up riches for their life. Let's say a man that lived 200-300 years ago. Where are all those riches today? They're all burnt up. They're all gone. The house is dilapidated. The whatever type of mode of transportation he had is destroyed. Everything that he had, all of his nice clothing that he walked around in his vain show, it's all destroyed. It's not even existed today. So the things of this earth, guess what they do? They rust and moth corrupts them. They're eventually going to deteriorate. They're eventually going to just be destroyed and come to naught. That's what's going to happen. So not only, and that's going to happen in your life. You say, I just want this boat. By the time you die, it won't even run anymore. Before you pass out of this world, yet you're not going to get to take it with you anyways. But before you even pass away, if you purchased it today, by the time you were 60, 70, you wouldn't even be able to drive that thing anymore, most likely. Your vehicle, your fancy vehicle that you're just desiring to have so badly, guess what? Not even going to run anymore. And at this time, people are going to just try to tap into that because everybody's got that covetous bone. We're all sinful. We know that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. We all have sinful desires. And covetousness is the root of all evil. It's the root. Everyone has this streak of covetousness in them. And the truth is, all of these marketers, all of these different companies that produce, you know, whatever their product may be, they try to tap into that. And at this time of the year, that's exactly what they're going to try to do. You know, it begins with Black Friday immediately, right? And then it just continues on all the way until Christmas. Now, you know, so there's nothing wrong with buying gifts for other people. There's nothing wrong with, you know, using this time, you know, especially to be selfless. There's nothing wrong with maybe receiving gifts. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But what could take place during this period of time is it could definitely get you in the flesh. It could cause you to fall into a sin, a particular sin that could cause you much more problem and take your mind off of the true riches, which are in heaven. So, number one, the first reason why is because the riches of this world are temporary. You're not taking them with you. You only get to keep them for a few years anyways. Number two is even in this life, in another aspect, they're temporary because moth and rust will corrupt them. They'll eventually be destroyed. You're there in Proverbs chapter number 23. Look with me at verse number 4. It tells you again another command. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. So that's clear. Notice what it says. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. We shouldn't be laboring to be rich. You should not be working hard so you can just have just a bunch of money. What does it mean to be rich? It means to have an abundance. It means to have an abundance of wealth. That should not be the purpose why you work. It should not be a goal or an objective of yours at all. You should not be working or laboring to be rich. Furthermore, it goes on in verse number 5. Think about this. It says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Notice that. You know, what does he mean that riches have wings? It means you'll have them for a period of time, but then guess what? They're going to leave one day. That's what he's saying. You're going to have them one day, and then they're going to make themselves wings. Not literally, but it'll feel like it because they're here one day, and then what? Gone tomorrow. Right? So don't set your heart upon something that you're only going to have for a few years. Something that obviously isn't of that great a value because it's only going to last for a few years. It's only going to last for a very short amount of time. And then it's going to just deteriorate, dilapidate, fall apart, and degrade into nothing. It's going to, moth and rust will corrupt it. So we need to seek the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporary. The true riches are eternal. The things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen, those things are eternal. We need to seek the spiritual riches, the eternal riches. I want you to turn with me now to Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33. Seek the things of God. That's the next point of what we need to do. The other truth is this. We need to be seeking the things of God. We don't need to seek after the riches of this world. Why? Because they're temporary. What we need to be seeking after are the eternal riches. The riches of God, the riches of heaven. Look at Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33. This is what we need to keep our eyes on. This is what we should be desiring. You know, every time you have that desire for something of this world, you have this the desire, the lust, and you covet after some rich, you know, whatever it may be, some riches of this world, some possession of this world, you need to, you know, redirect that desire to the things of heaven. Desire the riches in heaven. Desire the rewards that you could receive in heaven, the things of heaven. Look at Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I read to you a moment ago Matthew 6, 19 and verse 20. I'm going to read that to you one more time. It says this, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. We need to be seeking after the eternal riches, the riches that are going to last, the pure riches, and like the Bible refers to it as the true riches, the things which are in heaven, which God promises us. Those are things that someone can't just take away from us. Those are things that a thief can't come in and just steal it from you. You're not going to die one day. Once you get to heaven, you're going to live forever. You're not going to pass away into another world where you're just not going to have the possessions that you acquire once you get into heaven. You're going to have those riches and those things, those rewards, forever. And guess what else? Moth and rust will not corrupt those. You know, that shows you it's of a higher value. That means it's greater than the riches of this world. It's the true riches. The riches of this world are not the true riches. We need to seek after, in this time, while people are trying to pressure us and try to, you know, get us to be covetous and to look after and lust after all of these different material things, you know what we need to do? We need to direct our eyes and the things that we desire towards the things of heaven. And that's good to desire the riches of heaven. There's nothing wrong with that. It actually says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We should desire to have treasures in heaven. That's a good thing. Some people are like, no, you shouldn't desire rewards. You shouldn't desire a mansion. You shouldn't desire, you know, gold and crowns and things like that. That's not biblical. There's multiple times. The Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 that he runs that he may obtain. He wants to obtain an incorruptible crown. That's what he wanted to obtain. He said, so run. You know, he's telling you run so you can obtain that crown. He says, only one wins. You better run. Right here, what's it say? Hey, you know, he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Then he says this, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and nor thieves break through and steal. And then he tells you right after that, I didn't have that verse, but he says, but where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. During this period of time, the reason why this is such a big deal is because the world and Satan, he can get your eyes set on, you know, just the material wealth, the material things of this life, get you to lust after this. You know what will happen? Your heart will become, your heart will move from the things of God, and it will become set on the things of this world. You'll get your eyes off Jesus. You'll get your eyes off the crown of heaven. You'll stop worrying about, you know, the rewards that you can receive in heaven. You'll stop thinking about and looking forward to the day when Jesus comes back. And you know what you'll start thinking about? You'll think about all the different things that you can acquire on this earth. You'll start worrying about all the different wealth that you have here. Oh, you know what? I think I need a new boat. I think I need a new car. I think I need whatever it is. Everybody has their own little niche of the things that they would like to get and acquire on this earth. And what it'll do is it'll get you out of, ultimately, it's very possible that it'll get you out of the Christian race. It'll knock you out of the Christian race. It'll take your eyes off of Jesus. So what we need to do is we need to seek the true riches, which are eternal. They're not temporary. Go with me to Luke chapter number 12. To Luke chapter number 12, speaking about priorities, making sure that we have our priorities right. This is good to know, hey, when people start trying to get us to, you know, to covet after all of these things, the things of this life, we need to make sure that the things of this world, we need to make sure that we keep our eyes on the kingdom of heaven, his righteousness. Look at Luke chapter number 12, verse number 15, a story. And that's what this has to do with is prioritizing things correctly. Spiritual things, things of God first. Look at verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Now, let me stop right there. And this wasn't necessarily a part of my sermon, but notice that super strong statement. This is how Jesus judges someone. This is how Jesus looks at someone to see whether or not they're worth anything. When Jesus wants to determine whether someone is of value, when he looks at someone to see, hey, is this a good guy? Is this guy worth anything? He's gonna rank us. Notice what he says. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Does Jesus care how many things that you possess in your life? How many possessions that you have in your life? Jesus is not going to give a rip about who's richer than who when it's the judgment day. He's not going to care about that at all. Obviously, the number one thing is being saved. And, you know, that should be settled, number one. But then number two, obviously, it has to do with walking in the law of the Lord, walking in the light of God, living a righteous, holy, sanctified life, walking in God's commandments. So notice that he doesn't care about the things that people have. That's not what your life really consists of. That's not what's important. Look at verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So it brought forth abundantly. He had much, right? He was becoming more rich, is what it's saying. Excuse me. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, saying he's going to build bigger ones. And there will I bestow or put all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease
eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he's asking the question. Now all these things, all this wealth that you accumulated, you know, his riches that he had before that, because he was already a rich man, and then the ground brought forth plentifully, and he became even more rich. He has even more possessions. He has even more riches, right? He's asking the question, all of those things that you have, whose are they going to be now? Now that I came and I'm requiring your soul, saying you're going to die today, whose things are those going to be? They're not yours any longer. And look at what it says in verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure, look at this, for himself, and is not rich toward God. So he says, that's how the man is that lays up treasures for himself in this life, but he's not rich toward God. So what you have is this man that is spending his entire life just trying to accumulate as much wealth and as much goods and as much riches as he can. That's what he is sacrificing. All of his time, everything that he has is being labored to become rich just so he can grow, you know, a bigger estate, if you will. Just have more things, more possessions than he had before. And he says, you know, finally now I made it to the point where I just have so much. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take my, you know, he says, take thine ease. He's speaking to himself. Soul, take thine ease. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. So he thinks now that I have so much, I'm just going to sit back and I'm just going to enjoy all the great things that I have. Now, did he spend time serving God? Did he spend time in his life seeking God? Did he seek after even salvation and desiring to know, you know, how he can be reconciled to the Lord and know God, know the Creator? Did he spend time doing any of that? Not at all. And not only that, he wasted all of his life just on the possessions of this world. That's what he was eating. It doesn't even mention the guy, even, you know, things like family, anything like that. What's he doing? He's spending all of his time, all of his, you know, efforts on the possessions of this world. And then what happens? Just one night when he's not expecting it, he's retired basically. He basically gets to retirement. What happens? He thinks, oh, I'm just going to sit back and have a great time. Nope. Guess what? What do they call him? The Grim Reaper. He comes. God comes and requires his soul of him. He dies, right? And then guess what? All of the possessions are left behind. They're all left here. He doesn't take them with him. He doesn't get to keep any of those. And then it explains that this is the life of the man. That's rich toward himself, but he's not rich toward God. Like I said, number one, we need to make sure we're saved. Obviously, that needs to be the first thing. But number two, beyond that, Christians can do the same thing as this man. They can waste their life, you know, focusing on the things of this world. You know, they can waste their life focusing on the possessions, the, you know, all of the different material wealth of this world. And they, you know what they do is they put the things of Jesus, the things of God, the things of the Bible and Christianity on the back burner. That's real easy to do for anyone. And they just keep saying, hey, when I get through this area of my life, when I get through this phase of my life, then I'm going to make, you know, that sacrifice. Once I have this much money, once I'm this financially stable, once I possess this for my life, because we all think, and hey, money makes it a little bit easier in life, but it's never going to be as easy as you want it to be. Let me, you know, let that set in. You know, everybody's always wanting life to be a little bit easier. And think about that for a minute. Everybody is. No matter what stage of life that anyone's in, they always want a little bit more money to make their life a little bit more easy. Right? Just a little bit easier than how it is right now. And let me explain something to you. That time will never come. That day will never come where life is just as easy as you're picturing it in your mind. That's not how life works. And people think, oh, when it just becomes like this, well, then I'm going to be able to dedicate more time to the Lord. I'm going to be able to dedicate, you know, I'm going to be able to make it my priority once we're, you know, at this financial state. I remember when I was, this is a perfect application for that. I remember when I was thinking about moving. And I was talking to, and it's actually Brother Romero, I was talking to Brother Romero about moving to Phoenix. And I was telling Brother Romero, well, I need to save up this much money, I need to do this, I need to do that. And he's like, hey, this is what I would do. This is great advice. He's like, I would just set a date. He's like, I would just set a date. Set a date right after tax season because you know you're going to have the money. And just move. That's what I would do. Because if you just don't have that date set, you'll keep pushing that out. And you'll always be saying, oh, well, I need to have this put into place first. I want it to be this easy. Well, now, and you know what's going to happen is once you get that, whatever it is, $1,000, you're going to say, well, what we really need is $2,000. Because then we'll have, you know, enough for this. And also, you know, we'll have extra month just in case it takes me a little bit longer to get a job. And you'll just keep pushing it back. You'll keep pushing it back. And you know what you'll do? You'll keep putting whatever that sacrifice that you want to make for the Lord, you'll put that on the back burner. Why? Just because, hey, we just want it to be a little bit more easy. We want our lives to be a little bit more easy. That has to do with material wealth. It has to do with the luxuries of this life. And we live an easy, stinking life already here in the United States of America. We all live like kings in the United States of America compared to people in other nations today and especially in the years past. And it's so easy just to always wait on that next day. I'll make that sacrifice for the church. I'll make that sacrifice for God or for Christ in the future when it gets this easy, when I have this amount of money. It's the same thing here. What is he doing? He's not prioritizing the Lord first. He's not putting the Lord first. He's putting riches. He's putting money. He's putting the comforts of life. What does that all surrounds around the possessions and the things that, you know, in that sense, the possessions and things of this life, which is exactly what this began with. You know, Jesus made the statement, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. And that's what it is. Oftentimes we're so worried about, you know, making sure that life is easy. As far as having the comforts of life, you know, the creature comforts, like people will call them. We need to put all that out the window. Stop worrying about that. You know, you look at the Christians of the past, the Christians that we read about in the Bible, who are true disciples, they're sleeping in prisons half the time. Jesus, you know, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know, those are the sacrifices that the men of God of the Old Testament had to make. The prophets in the New Testament, the prophets in the Old Testament, they were sleeping in caves, dens and rocks, you know, wondering about, you know, they didn't have anywhere to live. They're wondering about in sheepskins and goatskins, not having anywhere to live, any clothes, and people are trying to kill them in their lives. And we're worried about, well, I just need to make sure that I got a second month's rent, you know, be paid before I can make this trip to, you know, go to this church that's going to edify me. You know, it's like, what was I thinking? It's because I was worried about the things of this life. It's because the flesh is always there, and I was just thinking about the things of this life and concerned about making sure that my life was easy. I just, you know what, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to sacrifice. I didn't want to make a hard sacrifice. We need to make sure that we prioritize. And we can get to this area in life, and it's so easy to do this in whatever phase that we're in our life to some degree, whatever it may be. You know, it's easy for me to fall into this now. It's easy for you to fall into this now, where we're just worried about making sure that we're comfortable, that we have. Now, what does that mean? That we have the things of this life. That's what it is, but the possessions of this life. We need to put Jesus first. You know what we need to do? We need to stop even worrying about that and thinking about that. We need to put our eyes on, go sit down now. Don't get up again. We need to keep our eyes on the things above. We need to keep our eyes on heaven, on Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those are the things that we need to be worried about and seeking after. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 10 says this. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Always rejoicing, I'm sorry. As poor, yet making many rich. And then it says this. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Did you notice that? He's talking about the apostles, those that are, obviously, he's talking about, you know, specifically he is talking about the apostles at this time, all the sacrifices that the apostles were making for the church. And he says that their state that they are in right now, because of their sacrifices that they made, he says, at the very end of that verse, he says, as having nothing, talking about the things of this world, and yet possessing all things. In Christ, he's referring to, of course. He possesses all things. In Christ, we're even in a material way of the next life. You know, we own all things through him and with him in his kingdom. It says if you were to look at Paul, it looks like he has nothing. He looks like just a pauper, just walking around. He's as poor as could be. He has no possessions. He's a tent maker, for crying out loud. And then just some radical follower of Jesus Christ preaching the gospel and starting all these churches all the time. So this guy looks like he just has nothing. But from the Lord's perspective, from God's perspective, from the spiritual perspective, the Bible says he has yet possessing all things. What matters most, this is the last point, what matters most is your spiritual state. That's where you're truly going to be rich. That's where you want to make sure that you're rich and you're not poor in your spiritual state. It's not what's in your retirement or your IRA, your bank account, your savings account. It's your heart. It's your walk with God. It's your spiritual state. Where are you at? What is your spiritual condition? Where are you at in your spirituality right now in your life? Psalm chapter number 37, verse number 16 says this, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." Did you hear that? It says, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." I want you to turn to Revelation chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 28, verse number 6 says this, "Better is the poor that walketh in his righteousness," or I'm sorry, "in his uprightness, than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." So it says there, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness, saying he's walking righteously, he's living a righteous life, but he's a poor man. So you see this, just this poor man, you know, he has nothing, he lives in just a rundown house, he doesn't have any clothes, right? They're all falling off of him or, you know, don't fit him properly. You know, he's making sure he's clothed properly though, right? Because he's a righteous man. But he is, he doesn't have any shoes. I mean, that was very common in the past. He's a poor man. He doesn't have very many possessions. Saying that that man is far better off, and truly in God's eyes is far richer than a rich man that's a wicked man. God looks at the man that is the poor man that is living a righteous life as being a better man, a greater man, than the rich man that's a wicked man, that's living in a sinful, wicked, evil life and doesn't care about the law of the Lord and is not walking uprightly and righteously. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 17 says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." So obviously this person has physical wealth, the riches of this world, the mammons, the mammon of this world. And he says this, "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." When God looks at that person, what does he see? He sees that they're in his eyes, they're poor. Spiritually, they're poor. They're broke spiritually. That's what matters to God. You know, a man's life doesn't consist. Quit picking at that. A man's life does not consist of the things that he possesses in this life. That's not what God cares about. God cares about your spiritual state. God cares about your spiritual condition. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter number 10, verse number 28. This is the last place I'm going to have you turn. So the last point that I want to make is the sacrifices for the Lord. The sacrifices for the Lord. That's the other important truth that we need to remember, is that we should be willing to sacrifice the riches of this world for the true riches. The riches of this world are meaningless, and God will take care of you. Ultimately, if you're in a situation where you don't have much, but you're walking uprightly, you're seeking the face of God, you're seeking the will of God, you're doing that which is right and honest and pure, God will provide for you in the first place. We shouldn't be desiring riches. You know, there's a proverb also that tells us that, it's the person speaking. He says, "Give me neither riches nor poverty." He says, hey, give me, don't give me poverty so that I'll steal, right? And he says, don't give me riches because then I'll deny thee and say, who is the Lord? We shouldn't be wanting to be rich in our life. God will provide for us. We look at all the people in the Bible that followed the Lord, that served God and did that which he required of them. We see that the Lord provided for them every time. So we should be willing to sacrifice the things of this world for the true riches. What's of greater value? And you're showing God what you think is of greater value. So, again, to go over the points, number one, we need to remember at this time of the year that the riches of this world are temporary. You're not taking them with you when you die. You're going to leave all your wealth behind when you die. You only get to keep them for just a few years. Also remember that, not only that, They're temporary in the sense that they're not going to last forever. They're going to break. They're going to rust. Moth is going to corrupt them. We shouldn't labor to be rich. Point number two is we should be seeking after the riches of heaven, not the riches of this world. Our hearts should be set on the things of heaven. Those riches are eternal. Keep that in mind. Those riches are eternal. And then the third point that I wanted to make to you is the sacrifices for the Lord. We should be willing to make sacrifices for the Lord. We should be willing to sacrifice the riches of this world for the true riches, or the riches of the Lord, riches of heaven. It says in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." So there's a lot there. Number one, we see that if you're willing to sacrifice the things of this life, God will pay you back in this life. But not only that, it says that he will be paid back in the next life, the man that's willing to do this. We'll receive eternal life, and he'll also pay us back in the next life. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7, the last verse I want to read to you, teaches the exact same truth. It says, "There is that maketh himself rich." Remember how we started off. Labor not to be rich. You shouldn't strive to be rich. You shouldn't be pursuing riches. It says, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing." Let that set in. He strives, he endures to become rich, but guess what? In God's eyes, he has nothing. Then it says this, "There is that maketh himself poor." So notice, this person did something to give things up. "There is that maketh himself poor." But then it says this, "yet hath great riches." So this is the man that can spend his life pursuing and seeking after and laboring for the riches of this world. And he can become rich in the riches of this world, but guess what God says? You're poor. You don't have anything in God's eyes. The man that when God came and required of his soul, he had nothing. He didn't have what he needed. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have God. He didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He didn't have what he actually needed and what actually had value. He didn't have any of that. Obviously, then, you know, the man went to hell. So it didn't help him any in the next life. So that man spent his life, you know, seeking or laboring to become rich. And guess what? He had nothing. But there's also, on the other side, there's the man that maketh himself poor. The man that's willing to sacrifice things. The man that's willing to give up things. Give up the riches of this life. Give up the riches of this world. You know, and it says that that man, even though he made himself poor, it says, yet hath great riches. Yet hath great riches. Sometimes God will even bless you again later in this life more than what you had before. A lot of times I know when people make sacrifices for the Lord, almost immediately after they make them, they say, you know, sometimes, you know, it'll be a job where the job is basically requiring them to work certain hours that conflict with maybe a ministry that they're in at the time, or maybe it conflicts with the times of the services of the church, and they really don't want to miss any church services. They maybe move to attend the church, and they stand up and they're like, "No, I can't do this." And the company's like, "Well, I guess we're going to have to let you go." That person will go through with it. They'll leave the company, and then they'll go and they'll find an even better job somewhere else that suits them better, that, you know, is willing to accommodate their schedule and is just a better work environment, being paid better. Many times, you know, when you are willing to sacrifice things in this life for the Lord, not only are you going to receive great riches in the life to come for those sacrifices, but as Jesus said right there, he's going to pay you back in this life as well. But obviously, you have to be willing to take the step of faith. So what we need to remember at this time, truly, the main purpose of the sermon, we need to make sure that we keep our eyes fixated on the things in heaven. We need to make sure that we, what we're desiring, what we're looking after are the riches in the next life, the riches in heaven, the riches, and we need to be seeking first the kingdom of heaven. People are going to try to bombard you with things. "Hey, get this new toy," even for the kids. "Get this new toy. You want this gift, you want that." But even as children, adults and children both, we need to keep our eyes on the things of heaven. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's really what matters. You're going to get that toy, and guess what? You're not going to be playing with that toy when you're an adult. You're going to get that toy, and guess what? It's going to be broken in a couple of months. You know, Jeremiah got his Kentucky long rifle, and it broke in like 2 weeks. Right? That's just the nature of the things of this life. Every toy that you get, you know, the toys that, you know, adults get, you know, tools maybe, or whatever you want to consider a toy, you know, it'll break eventually. You better not put too much stock in that. That better not be your priority. That better not be what you're seeking after and where your heart is. Well, your riches and where you're stocking up, where you're putting your time, because what do you got to do to put to store up riches? You got to work. You got to labor. It's where you're investing your time. So what we need to make sure we're doing is we're not laboring and investing our time for the things and the riches of this world and the treasures of this world. Make sure you're laboring for the riches and the treasures of the next world, the riches and the treasures of the next life. Make sure that that's what's important to you. Because you know what it says? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the wisdom and just the reminders, dear Lord, of the importance of the riches of the next life, the true riches. We thank you so much for even giving us an opportunity to be co-heirs with you and to reign with you and to be able to take part in the kingdom of heaven and the riches and the gold street and everything that that entails, dear Lord. We love you so much. We ask you that you would give us the right heart, that you would help us to love you and to put you first and help us to set up a bulwark to be strong and to fortify our heart and to not fall into the trap of covetousness that this time of the year does. Help us to enjoy giving gifts to others, and but help us to not be just desirous of gifts, desirous of the material wealth of this world. Help us to keep our eyes on the things of heaven, and help us to desire the treasure of heaven. We love you so much, and in Jesus Christ's name, amen.